Turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. I went to hell and saw something I wish I didn't. By Beneficial Dis 5711. Quick content warning before we continue this story. This one contains self-harm and drug use. If you don't want to listen to this type of story, as always, I have timestamps in the show notes and description to help you skip around. I have been sober for 20 years. I'm 43 now, but when I was in my 20s, I was an addict. It started out with weed, then psychedelics, then cocaine, and finally heroin. I was at rock bottom. I didn't have anywhere to sleep. I was high all the time. I was selling my body for money. All I wanted to do was get my fix. I always told myself, just one more time, then I'll stop. But I couldn't stop. As soon as that needle went into my arm, I knew I had to keep doing it. Last time I used, I died. I remember I was sitting on a dirty couch. There was all types of stains on it. Blood, shit, piss. It was disgusting. I held the spoon over the candle, and I remember the excitement that passed through my body as I was ready to shoot up again. I hadn't eaten anything in 2 days. I was skinny and pale with dark circles under my eyes. I remember being able to feel my ribcage. Now I realize how awful that feeling was. I tied the rubber tube around my arm, pulling it tight with my mouth. I remember shaking as I put the needle closer and closer to the vein in my forearm. Just as I was about to inject myself, I thought I heard a voice. It was a voice of a woman. "You are loved," she said. I can only assume now that it was an angel, trying to get me to stop doing what I was about to do. I played it off as I was hearing things that weren't there, but there was something there, trying to take care of me, looking out for me. I injected myself and I could feel the warmest feeling wash over my body. It felt like I was laying on warm sand on the beach. I felt bliss and happy. Looking back now, I realized I wasn't at the beach. I was in a dark, diseased-filled basement, killing myself. I imagined that I was on a canoe in the middle of the ocean. The warm sun was beating down on me, and I was smiling. I closed my eyes. When I opened my eyes, I was laying on an old mattress stained with blood. It was no longer warm. It was sweltering hot. My skin felt like it was on fire. I pushed myself up and looked around me. I was in some sort of prison cell. I could see a flickering light from outside of the cell. I stood up and walked over to the obsidian cell bars and placed my hands on them. I screamed and jumped back, looking at my hands to see they were burned from the touch of the bars. The skin on my palms boiled and sweltered, turning a crimson red. I approached the cell bars again, making sure not to touch them. I could see now what the flickering light was. It was coming from a giant pit. I'm not sure how big the pit was, but if I had to guess, it was as long as 3 football fields and as deep as 2. I looked in terror, and as I saw people in the pit, they were screaming and begging to be set free, to be let go. They were all on fire. Many of them had 3-degree burns. Some of them no longer had any skin. I could feel a tear fall down my cheek. Those people were being tortured. That moment, I realized that I was in hell, and that pit was the lake of fire. Just above the lake was a person. No, not a person. Some sort of being. A creature. It had the legs of a goat, the arms of a man, the head of a dragon, and the wings of a bat. It was Satan. In front of him was a ball of light. He was moving his arms around it like he was caring for it or molding it. Inside the ball of light was a child, a baby with hooved feet and a 6 burned into his forehead. I looked on in terror at what I was seeing. My hands began to sweat and I was shaking in fear on what I thought was happening. I knew where I was. I knew that I was in hell. I knew that creature above the pit was Satan. I tried to think of what he was doing, what he was creating. The screams of the people burning in the pit was messing with my head. I was going crazy and wanted to gouge my own eyeballs out. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Then the thought came into my head. I was putting two and two together. I backed away from the cell bars and sat down on the mattress. It was the Antichrist. That's what Satan was creating. He was creating his own child. The door of my cell cracked open, and in walked what I can only describe as a demon. It was tall, about 7 feet tall, with long legs, gray, decaying skin, and curled horns protruding out of its forehead. Its eyes were bright orange, saliva drooling from its open mouth. It looked hungry. Fresh meat, it bellowed in a low, scratchy voice. As I grew closer, I backed away, when a light appeared above me and a voice spoke. It was the voice of the woman. "Take my hand," she whispered, and I did as I was told and took her hand. I remember being pulled out of the dark and into the light. That's when I opened my eyes. I was in the back of an ambulance. Two EMTs were beside me. One was holding an IV bag. "We got him," the one shouted. "Good to have you back, buddy. Are you okay?" he asked. I didn't respond. I was strapped down, but I leaned up and looked at my hands to see burn marks on each hand that was starting to blister. It was real. All of it was real. Hell, Satan, the Antichrist, the angel. I was in the hospital for a couple weeks. I overdosed in the basement, and someone was there to call an ambulance. I was only dead for 3 minutes, but it felt like 30. After I was released from the hospital, I went to rehab and got clean. I have a good paying job now, a wife and a daughter. I'm thankful for being given a second chance at life, but I still have nightmares about what I saw down in hell. My wife believes in what I saw, and she thinks it was for a reason. Can't help but think, did Satan ever unleash his spawn into the world? And how would we even know? I mean, the Antichrist could be walking among the population right now. It could be anyone. I'm telling you this because I need the others to know. I need people to know what I saw. The terror that I felt. I violated company protocol and Googled my client's name. When I saw his victim's photographs, I decided to dye my hair black. There's a door in my mom's basement that shouldn't be there. By Jonathan S223. I'm glad I found this place. What's happened to me has been seeing through me for quite a few weeks now, and I don't know if any of you will believe me, but here we go. So, 3 weeks had passed since my mother passed away. As much as I wanted to ignore everything and just wallow in my grief, I knew I had to go clean out her house. My wife had been gently coaxing me in that direction a week after the funeral. I found myself in the basement of our old house much sooner than I wanted. Shifting through memories and mementos my mother never got around to getting rid of. The air was thick with dust and nostalgia. As I moved a stack of old yellow newspapers, my eyes caught on something peculiar, a door, tucked away in a corner. Oddly, I didn't remember even seeing it before. Now, this was not my childhood home, but a place she had moved into after my dad had died. I had been down in the basement quite a few times and never remembered a door here. Hesitantly, I approached the door. It was plain, unassuming, yet felt strange to look at. I don't know how to put it in words, but The longer I looked at the door, the more my eyes wanted to look away. Like this plain wooden door hurt to be looked at. Curiosity got the better of me, and I reached forward and grabbed the cool handle. An unexplainable dread fled over me, causing me to release it as if it had burnt me. What the hell was that? I had thought to myself, staring at the worn knob. Stepping away from the door for a few moments, I haphazardly went through the basement, finally locating my father's old military flashlight. You know, the ones that are drab green and at an angle? I had recently switched the batteries out, so I knew it was good to go and returned to the door. Taking a breath, I put my hand on the knob, turned it, and pulled it gently open. Though it did not creak loudly, there was a puff of stale air that escaped, carried along with a scent of plant decay and dirt. As my beam shined down, I was surprised to see solid stone steps that descended, hit a landing, and then turned around the corner to what I expected to be another flight. How the hell was there a flight of stairs like this in my mother's house? Taking a deep breath, I stepped onto the staircase. Each step echoed in the hollow space, though it felt like that sound could not get past the open door above. I continued to the landing, peering around, and found another set of identical stairs that continued. After descending those two flights, a feeling of unease began to gnaw at me. Though the walls had been plain at the start, they were now adorned with faded frescoes and intricate carvings that felt familiar yet foreign. The air had grown heavier, as if not moved in years. I couldn't shake the feeling that I was intruding on some sort of forgotten realm, a place not meant for the likes of me. I paused, catching my breath at the sight of the first stone door. Its surface was covered in strange glyphs, which I recognized as Greek symbols. The door was ajar, and based on the collection of undisturbed dust, it had been so for quite a while. Beyond it, the next set of stairs looked older, less cared for. Layers of dirt coated each step, undisturbed until now. My heart pounded in my chest. This didn't make sense. How could this exist beneath my mother's house? A house I thought I knew every inch of. I should have turned back at that point, but I knew I had to keep going. As I made the first flight and landed on the new doorway, the entire design of the stairway had changed. The floor had become a white and black marble with Grecian-style pillars carved out of the walls on both sides. What I was not ready for was what lay beyond the corridor. This is impossible. That's what I kept telling myself. This is absolutely impossible. I stepped into the subterranean marvel, immediately noticing the cooler air and the hushed serenity that enveloped me. Before me laid an architectural wonder, an underground bridge reminiscent of ancient Greek elegance. Both the bridge and its landing were crafted from the finest marble, its surface smooth and lustrous under the soft ambient lighting. The marble was a tapestry of colors, primarily pristine white, veins with subtle streaks of gray and hints of blue, resembling the skies of the tranquil Mediterranean. The craftsmanship was exquisite, with each slab meticulously joined, creating an almost seamless flow of stone. The bridge arched gracefully over the still, reflective waterway. The surface of the water mirrored the majestic structure above, adding an unnatural quality to its gentle ripples, sending soft echoes through the subterranean world. Flanking the bridge were rows of columns, robust and simple. These columns supported an intricately carved frieze above, depicting scenes of ancient Greek mythology. I could recognize some of the stories, but a lot of them were unfamiliar. The landing areas at both ends of the bridge were spacious and clean. They were adorned with empty pots that appeared to have once held trees or plants, but now had long since died. There was a subtle fragrance on the air that I could not quite figure out where it was coming from. Overhead, the ceiling was high and vaulted. It was adorned with artful mosaics, each tile meticulously placed, depicting the night sky, though I could not locate any familiar constellation. And that was hard to believe, since I grew up studying the stars with my dad. I stood there staring in disbelief at what my eyes were showing me. I even reached out and touched the side of the bridge a few times, just to prove to myself that it was there. In hindsight, I should have turned and left immediately. This was impossible and real at the same time, which did not spell a good outcome for me, but that did not happen. As I think back on it, it felt as if I was in a dream, and like everyone in a dream, logical decisions are not easy to come by. Before I even had a chance to think on it, I began to walk across, my footsteps echoing softly. I was about halfway across the bridge that I caught movement out of the corner of my eye. I immediately spun to look to my right, broken out of my dreamlike reverie, but found nothing. In that very moment, I could have sworn I saw something moving up around the tops of the outcropping of the vaulted ceiling. I shined my flashlight up there and found nothing out of the ordinary. Well, out of the ordinary for a place that should not exist in the first place. With a bit of a hurried step, I made it to the other side of the bridge instead of retreating the way I came. Like an idiot, I needed to know where this was going. On the opposite side of the bridge, there was another identical corridor that led to yet another flight of steps. Impatiently, I hurried down them and came to a halt in front of another door. This one was pure granite stone, almost 2 feet thick. I knew this because it looked like someone had spent a lot of energy pushing on it and got it to move enough to allow a human to squeeze through. This door had symbols on it too, like the earlier one. I recognized them as ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. I had no idea what they said, but my love of ancient history made me confident in my find. At that moment, I knew I had come too far. Have you ever had that moment when you realized you were in way too deep and that you needed to get out? I felt that to my very core. The air had shifted around me, and I knew it deep down, but as a fool, I decided I need to keep going. Just a bit further. Shimming through the opening, I was plunged into blackness except for the light coming from the cracked stone door. The darkness beyond was almost palpable. I aimed my flashlight directly ahead of me and saw that there were more stairs. These stairs were ancient, unevenly worn, as if carved thousands of years ago. The air was suffocating, thick with dust and the weight of time. I could barely breathe. As I descended, a faint, indistinguishable sound reached my ear. It was barely audible over the sounds of my own footsteps, but it was there. A whisper, a murmur, something alive in this tomb of history. My heart raced and a cold sweat broke out on my brow. I wasn't alone, and I was the idiot that got killed in horror movies. I pressed on, driven by a mix of fear and fascination. The stairs became treacherous, uneven, and dangerously steep. With every step, I feared I'd slip and tumble into the inky blackness that the light struggled to cut through. Finally, I reached yet another door. This one was closed, sealed shut as if it hadn't been opened in millennia. It was weathered and appeared to have been hewed from the stone by hand. There were only a few scratched symbols in the door that I recognized. Babylonian. It was almost as if I had gone through time and arrived at a door to one of the planet's oldest civilizations. The handle was a simple rope and had been looped through and looked as ancient as a door, but somehow yet intact. I put my hand on the knob, knowing that the next decision would be the dumbest I could make, but I had to see what was on the other side. Fortunately, I never got an opportunity. I heard it first behind me, a hiss that was quite loud. I spun around in terror to see what had followed me into the earth. At first, my light could not find it, but that was because my brain could not process what I was seeing. It was a giant snake that was almost as tall as me as it sat back on its coils. Its scales shimmered like emeralds in the dim light, and its many heads, crowned with horns, swaying gently as if in a trance. The head of this creature was wide and its eyes golden and unnatural. Have you ever looked at an animal and realized it was thinking and smarter than you? That was a feeling I got as it focused on me. The forked tongue came out as it tasted the air. Shit, I had thought to myself as I wondered if I could move to the wall in hopes it had somehow not noticed me. That was stupid to think, since it was looking straight at me. From deep within its throat, it began to emit strange sounds, combinations I had never heard of, but was pretty sure it was speaking. When it spoke again, the tone made it clear it was upset I had not responded. After the third attempt, I could tell it was done. The movement was quick, but I either was damn lucky or was off balance, or a mixture of both. The strange snake monster lunged at me, and I instinctively dived to the side. The massive body went overhead and landed with a thud against the ancient, unopened door. I did not wait to find out what its next plan was. I sprinted with all my might, fueled with adrenaline, and dashed back the way I came. The sound of scales against the dirt told me it was right behind me. As I ran up the uneven stairs, praying I did not slip, I felt its breath on my neck a few times. I threw myself through the crack of the door, screaming my head against the stone, causing blood to pour into my eyes. I heard the thump of the creature hitting the door and causing the crack to become smaller. Part of me knew it could not get through the crack anymore, but the rest of me did not care. I ran and ran up flights of stairs until at last I burst back into the extremely small basement and kicked the door closed with my feet. The door slammed shut and I screamed for my wife. That is pretty much where my story ends. My wife came running down the steps and saw the horrible state I was in. I'm pretty sure I babbled quite a bit because she could not make out anything I said. A few hours later, when I calmed down, I mentioned the door, and she looked at me confused. What was strange is that I took her down to the basement and pointed to her, and her face would go blank. It was like she could see it, but just not comprehend it. The look people get who are half awake and talking to you in your sleep? In the end, I gave up trying to explain it, and we left. Why am I telling you this? That's because I want someone to know. I went back and the door is still there and it still opens. I plan to go in again and see if I can discover more about it. Why am I the only one who can comprehend it? Why does it exist? I know that snake thing is still in there, and I'm pretty confident it's trapped, which allows me a chance to explore the rest. Is it stupid? Probably. But I need to know. I need to know why there is a door in my mom's basement that leads to a place that should not exist. I'm just waiting for my gun permit to clear and finish my research on Greek, Egyptian, and Babylonian myths to help me understand. Once I've gotten that, I'm going back in. I'm going to find the answers, and nothing is stopping me. I was confused this morning when I saw "you all no longer deserve them" spelled out by clouds in the sky. But the frantic calls of pet owners, absence of buzzing insects, and the distinct lack of bird songs outside quickly cued me in on what that meant. And with that, our time together has come to an end. First of all, I would like to welcome all new listeners. After the last few days, we've had an immense amount of new listeners come in. So welcome, guys, and I hope you enjoy what you're hearing. And of course, I would like to thank the writers who let me read their stories this evening. That first story where they were dying, but thought they were on a nice warm beach or on a canoe enjoying the nice time, only to wake up in hell. It was an interesting read, and I enjoyed the idea of it, and, well, it seems to have been the wake-up call they were looking for. The second story was very intriguing. A guy going through a door that shouldn't exist, downstairs that shouldn't exist, to find himself before an ancient Greek door, and then walk into an ancient Greek room where he kind of recognized things, but they were slightly off. I love the subtle hints that not everything was quite right with how they wrote things. The only thing I really wish that the writer had done was there being an ancient Egyptian room. There was nothing past the ancient Egyptian door, just more stairs. And if I'm incorrect, please correct me in the comments. It made it very difficult when they got to the Babylonian door to even theorize, because now we've got an ancient Egyptian door but led to no room, so the Babylonian was just going to lead downstairs as well. These are just small gripes, and I do think a lot about the stories I read, especially the fictional ones. Other than that, I really enjoyed the story, and I kind of hope there's a part two. I doubt it, because I don't think the character's going to survive a part two. But if you're the writer and listening to this, and you decide to write a part two, please tell me. I would love to read it. Now, if you're on the YouTube channel and you enjoyed this video, hit that like button and make sure it feels it. If you're new, please subscribe and turn that pretty little bell to all notifications. If you're on the podcast and on a platform that allows it, please leave a review. It really helps the podcast. As well, if you're on Spotify, there are questions and polls that you can answer if you like. Whether you're on the podcast or YouTube channel, please share this with anyone who might like it. It really helps quite a bit. If you'd like to get early access and a few other bonuses, I do have Patreon and memberships where you get early access as well. And, of course, a few other bonuses. If you'd like to just do a one-time donation, I do have PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee as well. All the links, including the ones to my socials, my website, and everything else about me, are in the show notes and description box for you guys to make it easier for you to find. But as always, thank you for watching and listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.